What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is show number 135, Win the Popcorn. I'm trying to do an intro here. All right, I got to start over. All right. What's up, everybody?
Why did you send me this?
All right, I got to start over.
My goodness.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is show number 135, When the Popcorn Gets Burned. I miss that. I miss that so much.
That makes one of us.
Yeah.
Today is September 26th, 2023, except that I didn't change the date, so it's probably not that at all. I'm Dave Duncan. I'm here with Sean Conroy.
Hey, how are you?
Tom Rivera.
What up, what up, what up?
Elijah Griffin.
Hello, 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 hello.
You know, all you guys' names are capitalized on my sheet except for Rivera. You think that was like Freudian slip?
No, it was just what you wanted. No Freudian slip.
Well, he only gets one half of his name capitalized because he's
only half of it.
Yo!
Would you rather have the Tom? Would you rather have the Tom capitalized or the Rivera capitalized?
The Rivera capitalized.
All right, let me switch it. I'll
and
make
the Tom lowercase.
I'll make it a little T. Just for you.
Hey, little T.
Little T.
Little Tom.
That's actually some of my family members call me that.
You should just call him Tiny T.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Tiny Tom. Little Tom.
God bless Perfect. Everyone.
Elijah.
What's up?
Would you stop rooting for your football team if they moved?
Yes.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this topic came up this week on...
Yeah, we heard your phone, but it's okay.
I wasn't going to say anything.
135 episodes.
I mean, literally the last episode. We gave him the entire summer off to learn how to use that thing. And the first episode last week... He interrupted the intro because he had a phone problem. Yeah. And then
I was getting interrupted again because it wasn't showing that we were live.
And I'm like, what's this happened last week. Literally happened last week.
And I looked over at Sean's phone. I'm like, well, we are live. Why is that showing up on mine?
You know how in the radio business they have like a 5-second delay in case somebody swears? Well, we got Sean on the show. So they've got like a 5-minute delay.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not enough for a 30-minute show.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they want to rant.
So this came up this week and I thought it was an interesting topic. Somebody said, would you stop rooting for your football team if they moved or your sports team if they moved? And, you know,
Oh, that's a good question.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they were talking about Oakland, like booing, well, not Oakland, Vegas. And mm-hmm. I think they moved once before.
They did.
Yeah, LA.
Yeah,
LA.
Yeah.
Oakland.
Vegas.
And so some of these fans have been rooting for this trash team for like 50 years. And finally they're like, I can't do it. Like, they were getting on a plane to fly to Vegas to watch the team. I was like, no. So they just gave up. But the worst, like this guy wrote a letter to the owner of the. Have you ever seen the owner of
Davis?
The,
is it Davis? Isn't it
Mark? Al? And that's not Al Davis. What's his son's name? Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Have you seen his haircut?
No.
They said on. I was watching. They're actually. Terrible. They were on last night. You ever watch Peyton and Eli?
Yeah.
No.
On ESPN2, it's pretty good, because especially if the game is crap. It's pretty good to hear that. They had on, I forget, one of the late night commentators was joined them, and he had a great line. He said, I would sue Supercuts.
Wow. I don't even think that's a Supercuts job. That's like a Flobee.
They said, no. So that's what you'd think, but there was an article apparently that came out a couple of years ago that he actually drives a long distance to go to his barber to pay for that to get done. Like I feel like the
taking advantage of him.
No. I think it's the other way around.
Too much money.
I think it's the other way around. I think the barber is probably crying while he does it, because Mark's like, it has to be done this way, and he's like, I trained in Italy for this fashion, and you make me do this. So,
you know, it's not to change the subject, but haircuts. It's funny you mention that because
rub it in.
Steve Harvey, before he went bald. His barber, he was supporting his barber's entire life. Steve Harvey was getting like three to four haircuts a week. How much do you think a haircut he would pay for a haircut?
That's a good question. Well, because you asked it that way, I would say a ritzy haircut's probably like $200. But since you asked it that way, I'm going to say $500.
Give me a number.
I'm going to say $1,000.
Give me a number, Tom.
Tom's still trying to work his phone.
Sorry, I got.
Are you doing your taxes?
We don't even care. We don't care.
Are you doing your taxes?
What happened?
You know what this is.
Is that an expense report?
Oh, never mind. Yeah, he's doing church business. This guy is so overworked. Okay, so how much for a haircut, Steve Harvey?
I pay $40 for a haircut.
Wow. Yeah, I said Steve Harvey, though.
Oh, Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey.
He's like so checked out.
Wow. Welcome to the show,
before
Tom.
Before he went bald.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode 130.
125.
$125
Sean was right.
$1,000
He would pay his barber $1,000
Three times a week.
3 to 4 times a week $1,000 Well, it's a tax write-off, but
I guess
he ended up.
It's got to be his brother or something, right?
No. Okay. He paid this barber that much money, and then his barber, he was like, I thought he was going to kill himself when he went bald, but all the years that he paid him, he was able to open up his own barber school, open up because he was paying him a lot of money.
I actually heard that story.
But I'm sorry.
But I didn't know the answer.
You weren't paying attention.
I know. I gotta.
You
I gotta,
never pay attention.
I gotta get off the.
You don't.
Now he's just on Instagram. I don't know what he's doing over there.
He's checking out Twitter.
Sending me beautiful pics.
Hey, it's not Twitter anymore.
That's three references. I'm gonna keep track of how many references this guy makes to that topic.
Social media.
To the stuff that I send him today.
Oh, okay.
I don't have my glasses on, and I was like, wow.
Four.
All right.
Just talking to King Julian instead.
Julian.
No, my wife goes stop talking about that night. She's like, I sue you.
So the fan wrote Mark Davis a letter and said, I'm out. You know, I've been watching this trash team. I've been flying. I've been buying tickets. I've been paying the extra for the package. I used to go there when you were in our town, yada, yada, yada. And then he signs off at the end of the letter saying,
go Raiders.
Goodbye for now, and signed his name. And it was like, hang on a second. Just because they're trash doesn't mean you can leave. Like, they moved, and you're saying that's the reason you're not rooting. But it says goodbye for now, meaning maybe he'll come back when they're good.
He's going to jump back on that
bandwagon. No.
So that's I mean, could – Elijah, the Eagles move to –
Hold on.
Where should the Eagles move to for this?
Wichita.
Wichita.
They should share a stadium with the Giants and the Jets. Really
that's what I'm saying. What if they move somewhere
– No.
No. This is hypothetical.
I don't care. No.
Hypothermical?
They move to my favorite state.
New York?
Texas.
No. San Antonio, Texas. Because there's already a team in Houston and there's already a team in Dallas. They go to San Antonio, Texas.
What are they going to practice in the yard in the Alamo?
I don't know. The
Alamo doesn't have a basement.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're not going to be practicing. But they moved there and – You're not going to
– See, you're can't? Evil for two reasons.
Just two?
Just two.
Okay.
For this topic, you're evil for two reasons. One, because you're talking about my team leaving.
Hey, Pete.
Right.
And two, you want to put them in Texas?
He put Pete's here. Like, we don't know it's him.
I was going to announce himself.
Pete's here.
And you want to put them in Texas? That's a double no.
So
one, you move. Two, you're in –
Well, I thought about D.C. I thought about D.C., but there's not enough room in the sewer for them. I thought about New – no, because they're – you know, the what are they now? The football team now.
The Commanders.
The Commanders, they have a sewage problem at their place. So you can't have another team.
You know, the crazy part about it is if – I still wouldn't support, but if they went to Washington, it would –
Well, they're close enough, though.
It's not even that they're close enough. There's more fans in Washington that support the Eagles than there is Washington supporting Washington.
Did you see the home game we just played in L.A.?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so the answer is you'd still root, you would not root for them.
I don't want to do
it. Who would you root for? Are you going to be a Giants fan?
No.
I would think that another team would be planted in Philadelphia. It's too much of a great city not to.
Yeah, it's too big of a
I'm sorry. What was the adjective you used?
Planted.
Cool. Planted?
No.
Great?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, that was hard to swallow.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
Whoa. Do not speak ill of my team.
Did they still have a court in the stadium?
No.
Oh, they got rid of that?
They did.
Sounds
still have a jail, though.
No.
Mind your business, Sean.
Not that I've seen it.
You guys, that's not facts. That's not true.
I wouldn't talk, Mr. Boston. Everybody comes out and says they've been like racially targeted in Boston when they go there to play
the
games.
The Patriots do look good this year, though.
I think they
look really good.
I think
they
Mac,
good
Mac
for the first round pick next year in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, their quarterback is like practicing picks. Buddy. He's like practice. They said we're going to get the first round pick, and he thought it said he. They said throw a pick. And so he did. But
well, he thought he was the tackling dummy.
That was a bad joke. Yes.
No, that was a good one. That was.
Don't sleep on this weekend's game is all I have to say.
Oh, this is going to be so good. Pete, you want to come over?
Who plays this week?
The Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles.
He almost said Phillies. He's so excited about baseball. He almost said Phillies right there.
Yeah. I was so mad, man. We just blew a 4-0 lead just like that.
Oh, they lost.
Two home runs.
That was my fault.
Yeah, that's a shame.
No, it was my fault, actually, because every game I've watched in the playoffs, they won, and we had a board meeting last night.
Oh, you want to blame the church? Oh, sorry.
Now you're saying it's God's fault?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Wow, it's crazy how I just like
yeah. spun that right out of yeah. there, didn't we?
Straight DJ Khaled.
So like, why is it your fault? Why is it your fault? Why is it your fault?
Because, all right, number one, how many people have you ever heard during basketball talk about the Phillies? Until yesterday?
None.
Okay, so I'm thinking that is going to be a baseball-free zone because I didn't watch the playoffs since they started. I turned on the game, the last game of Miami.
You should have canceled basketball last night.
Listen, time. I turned on the last game of the Miami game, and...
Hey, Pete, how much you weigh right now?
Oh, okay. The last game of the Miami game, and I turned it on. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. I know the team. I know who's playing. I'm going to watch it. Harper's up. Strike. Ball. He went down swing, and I said, Food Network, here we go. Because I'm like, I can't do it. And once I turned it off, they won.
So that's what they say with analytics. There's no emotions in the game. Like, it's all the numbers, whatever. It isn't. Because you can watch a baseball game, you can watch a football game. They could be up by two or three scores, and you're like...
99.9999.
Yeah, it's not true. You know, yeah, he's like 207. So
don't worry,
like 207.
I mean, I'm not blaming myself over the Phillies loss. I could care less.
Pete, come over this weekend. I'll get you like 208. We have a. I told Pete we're going to meet in the middle because he said he's going up, and I said I'm going down. So we're going to meet in the middle somewhere. I think about 218 we'll meet up.
What are you at right now?
237.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Started at 326. So
what's your goal? 225?
Well, in 11 pounds is going to be pretty exciting because that's 100. But yeah, 215, 210, somewhere in there.
The things we don't need to know, Pete. Thanks.
You'll be ripped at that point.
Doc's scale today said 202. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Totally not reading that one. If you guys...
Oh, nightmares tonight.
If you guys listen on the podcast, you might want to check out that comment on Facebook.
Yeah, I think we all are losing, right?
Well, then next time, stop switching the channel and just...
But that's just it. Lonnie was like, oh, my God, look at the score. I said, no, don't... Because I wasn't watching it. They were all on the stage, like, watching it when they weren't playing. And he showed it to me. I was like, I'm not supposed to look at that. So it's my fault. Sorry, Philadelphia.
You should have canceled basketball last night.
All right.
No, I needed it.
There's a game I wanted to play, and we're doing this live because I have. I haven't said anything to these guys.
Well, good. I didn't see any Sprite bottles coming in.
No. Not like a game like that. Pull out your phone. I'm curious.
Oh, I'm looking at my phone.
Everybody's phone's out.
This is just what they call a talking point. Yeah, but they didn't know that on the podcast, so I was setting it up.
I see.
It's called Jesus. Guys. You need to go to Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Jeez.
I mean, I didn't, but I've seen so many commercials and listened to so many commercials, I feel like
get
I've been there.
Get your degree in 72 hours.
75 minutes for next $100.
All right. Go to your alarm app. What's the earliest? That's just a question. It's not really a game. I just have a question. What is the earliest alarm you have set on your phone?
5 a.m.
5 a.m.
4:15.
Tom didn't even look at his alarm.
Because I never change it. It's always 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know why I opened mine. I already knew what it was, too.
4:15 a.m.
Yeah, but he's got two set. He's one of them people.
I got two?
When you look at mine,
there's only one.
I have two. One's an a.m., one's a p.m.
I didn't delete that from my last job,
but
I was only 15 minutes away.
Here you go, Tom.
Oh, you're like my wife.
Scroll through that bad boy.
Oh, my wife.
We got like 62.
Oh, this is my wife right here. It's so annoying.
Keep going.
That sounds like
some of them are in the afternoon.
What is this?
It's all the times I've had to wake up recently.
Why don't you just change the current one to the time you want?
Because I might need that one again.
Oh, that is horrible. Did you see that?
No.
It probably looks like Andres' phone. Andres has like 20 of them in.
So that's what I was actually curious to see if you guys had multiple.
He's scrolling on Facebook, but it's just the alarm times.
Yeah,
alarm times.
Okay.
Like Twitter feeds.
So I'm
looking like a Venmo page. Just numbers.
So 2 o'clock, 2:15, 2:30, 2:35, 2:55, 3 o'clock. These are all within like the last 2 months. 3:15, 3:30, 3:45, 3:50, 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, 4:55. You got to get into the New York City, beat the traffic. So you go to bed at like 9 and you wake up at 2.
Yeah, mine's just one. That one's been there since I bought the phone. I don't even know what
that is. It came with the phone. He just didn't want to delete it.
I'm afraid to delete it. I don't really know.
It's the only thing holding this phone together.
Keep your phone quiet and get a good night's rest with sleep mode. I don't even know what that means. So I just kept it there. But there's only one, 5 a.m.
The great thing about waking
up. It's labeled gym. I don't know why. I haven't hit the gym at 5 a.m. in years.
It's like the previous owner of your phone.
Yeah. No clue what that's for.
So yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, drive to New York City, you miss the traffic, and the great thing is you don't really wake up till the GW Bridge, so it's like an extra sleep anyway.
If he deleted, the world's going to end. Yeah, gotta keep it there.
I'm so afraid to hit that little X. I'm like, I don't know what that's for. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Let me check my alarm.
Yep, still there.
Yeah, that's not an alarm. It's alarming, but it's not an alarm.
Six. That's six. That's six references.
I think you missed one.
I think I did. Let's just go to seven.
I don't think I want to know what
I made two,
about.
So.
What am I missing here?
Oh, Dave, you're not into the joke?
Locked up.
You don't look like me.
Tom just tried to open Elijah's facial recognition.
That's the first thing that shows. When
I would love it if it worked.
That would have been hilarious.
If it was?
If it had worked when he looked at your phone. I'd have got up and left. I'd have said, all right, Jesus is coming right now. I'm going to meet him outside. Are you going to what, David?
Pete, what does extra naked mean?
We're going to go there, huh?
Tom, look.
I'm not even sure what that means.
He shaved his head.
Yeah, like, look. Was he resting a hand on the camera? I mean, how do you, anyway, I'm done. All right, we're good.
That's some work.
Yes, it does.
Did you see?
No. Oh. I didn't see it.
That's fine. Let's do the podcast.
Yeah, let's move on.
Oh, we didn't start yet?
What did you think we've been doing?
I'm hot now.
Who has a game?
Me too.
I don't have a game.
I thought you said you had a game.
Check your alarm. That was the game. Check your alarm.
Check your alarm was the game?
That is a terrible.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious? I was excited. You're like, I got a game. We got to play it right now.
That explains why you were a Jet fan, man.
Yeah, that's the game you came up with? Check your alarm clock?
That's why I stopped coming to Dave's house for football.
I am so confused. Wow, I actually thought we were going to play a game. And that's
Had Tom all excited. He was all ready to go. He put his glasses on and everything.
He stretched and everything. Like,
I'm a Jets fan. It doesn't take a lot to like. You seen some of our games? That's what we think a game is.
Just I was like, just happy there was no, like he said, like Sprite cans laying around.
Oh, that would have been great. I'd love to do that on
Honestly, to be honest with you, I don't think I would do it again.
No,
that.
Oh, that's right. You were crying over that.
I was in pain.
Yeah, he was hurting.
He was crying over the Sprite challenge. He was in so much pain.
That's because the Sprite bottle was bigger than him.
I felt bad for little T.
Tiny T.
He was like Ron Burgundy. Milk was a bad choice.
Would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future?
10 minutes. No, 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
150 is way too
much. Yeah, I don't really care about the world.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Buy stocks for your grandkids?
I'm not even going to be around.
Look, 150 years into the future, you're not going to see anything because you ain't going to be there.
She shows you a grave.
That's all it shows.
Yeah, it just has a grave there for her.
Nobody even cut the grass.
10 minutes.
You just see a guy weed whacking. You're like, what the hell? This is terrible.
Yeah, but it's only it's just black. It's just what you can see in 100.
And then the 10-minute one is a thing. The little clock still loading.
Yo.
Still loading.
Would you rather have telekinesis or telepathy? The ability to move things with your mind or the ability to read minds?
The ability to read minds.
Oh, I think telekinesis.
I don't want to know what people are thinking. I don't even want to know what they're saying.
I already know what they're feeling. I don't want to know what they're thinking.
Telekinesis is great because
that's just gonna make you so lazy.
No, it's gonna get you in trouble.
Oh yeah.
If you want to know what people are thinking, just
absolutely.
Watch.
I want telekinesis.
Right.
I don't even go on Facebook. I don't care what people are thinking.
No.
Like, I want to move some stuff.
Yeah, I'm like tying people's shoelaces together when they're walking.
Yeah, oh my gosh!
What?
He's right. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly.
Well,
because
he knows
I'm
it's
thinking.
Him. He knows like it's him that's gonna happen.
Like if you're in the supermarket, and you're going down, and somebody's rude, and they hit your car. Okay, can of beans. Sorry.
When Tom's
up
there.
Do you have to be in front of, like,
no.
do you have to
no.
be so
no.
I could be at my house and you could be at your house and a book could come flying in my face?
Yes.
No, you gotta be able to.
Yeah, that's some wrong.
I think,
range telekinesis.
You gotta be able to see what it is you want to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I'll
be like, but my wife would be like, honey, why haven't you left the house in 4 days?
I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm working from home. Really?
I think I got shingles. I'm just gonna stay home.
I'll be doing Zoom services every Sunday.
Tom, you on the couch, the lawnmower rolls by the window.
Why do you have a football pads and everything to go to the church? My friends.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, do you know where the lawnmower is passing by the second floor window?
Would you rather be forced to sing along or dance along to every song you hear? Every, you know even
Tom already sings along. So
no, I
in the
I,
supermarket, in the elevator, at work.
I'm gonna go with sing.
Can you not control it?
No, you can't control it.
I sing just about every song I hear anyway. So
I should have said it really loud,
like embarrassingly loud.
You're in the grocery store. I just needed bread.
Nobody wants to see this shake, so I'm gonna sing.
Sean, would you rather find true love today or win the lottery next year?
Oh, I definitely want to win the lottery next year.
Would you rather be in jail for 5 years or a coma for a decade?
Ooh, I think I'd rather be in jail.
Just in general, like than be here.
Nah.
He didn't even hear the second part of the question. He's like, I go to jail.
Yeah, go to jail. Three hots and a cot and I go out and work out when I want. That's awesome. Nah.
I do think if I went to jail, I'd get jacked.
I don't want to be put in no situations.
I mean, at least
it's like, yo, man, that's my cup of noodle. It's mine.
You'd be like Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Give me that cornbread.
You know, I go to jail as long as there's a cheeseburger Eddie there. Terry Crews played in the longest yard.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, got fries that cross your eye.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You don't remember?
No. I don't remember his exact character in there.
Cheeseburger Eddie.
Cheeseburger. He's got like the cheeseburgers and stuff.
Okay.
He's always got some kind of fast food on.
Yeah, but was he jacked or was he fat?
Yeah, he was jacked.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That was his side hustle. He would sneak McDonald's into the jail.
I'll have to watch that again, apparently.
Somebody's going to steal my cornbread.
What do you think, Tom? Jail 5 years, coma for a decade. Life.
I would say jail 5 years.
Yeah.
You'd be preaching to everybody.
Exactly. I could spread the gospel in there.
Mm-hmm. Give me the coma.
I need some rest.
You don't want the coma.
I'm tired.
All right. I got another one for Tom.
Coma.
Two more. I got another one for Tom.
You'll be right next to me. Look.
Nine.
Pastor Tom, would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed? Overdressed. You got to preach in this.
That's a good one. I would, under or over?
Would you rather be always underdressed or overdressed?
I no longer wear a suit to preach. I literally wear jeans and whatever now. But I would say overdressed on that one.
I concur.
Overdressed?
Overdressed. Okay.
Yeah, that would be tough for like a wedding. Well, actually, I don't care about weddings too much.
But me either.
That's a tough one. I think I'd go with under. I really need to think it through, but I think I'd go with under because I don't like to be hot.
But see, here's the thing. If you go with under, then they're going to be like, oh my God, he wore overalls to the wedding. What is wrong with this guy? But
what's
if you go
with that?
Over, I'm just sorry.
You're not allowed to do
Cotton
that?
Eye Joe to play.
Where's my spoons? No, but if you're overdressed, you can say, you know what, I'm overdressed. Let me take this jacket off, unbutton this button, roll up the sleeves, and now I'm
casual. No, you can't. You got to stay.
Take it off.
Yeah,
you can't take it off.
You got to keep it on.
Wait, you didn't even ask the question.
Because then you'd be underdressed. You can't get underdressed while you're overdressed.
Yeah.
You got to stay in it, man.
You got to stay in it. You can't just.
All right, I'm going to fully commit.
All right.
Be sharp to the nines. I just won't move, so I won't sweat. I just find a shaded spot.
Just stand right under the fan.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather swim in a pool full of Nutella or a pool full of maple syrup?
Oh, goodness.
Maple syrup all day.
Yeah, right?
No.
I know you
Nutella.
It would not be good
Nutella
for...
Nutella is going to be way easier to clean off.
It's not going to be easy to move around in Nutella.
No, I feel like a
syrup's
hot shower would
take... sticky as hell.
Nutella, you're not going to be able to swim around in Nutella.
You just jump in.
You're just like... Poof.
It's like it's smooth. It's hazelnut spread. It's creamy.
Yeah, at least
it might be good for your skin.
Stroke. Yeah.
You might be good. It's hazelnut. In Nutella?
Why not? It's hazelnut.
I don't know. You could,
it's the flavor that matters. It's hazelnut, so you
not
can do it. It's not the consistency.
It, right?
Listen, I got a bit of hair. I don't want to be having maple syrup all sticking to my hair and stuff, but that's not good.
I just think.
I mean, we'll be more
maple
aerodynamic
syrup.
And whatever it is, right?
Maple syrup all day long.
Ugh, gross.
I don't have an answer for that.
Did you see that 104-year-old lady jumped out of a plane?
Yeah. No. She was a day younger than Tom.
Oh.
That's not nice.
She didn't have a shoot. She was just like, that's it, I'm done.
She saw 10 minutes into the future. I'm
tired of these snakes on this.
You can't say I don't have an answer for that one.
How are we going backwards here?
Because he doesn't like...
Because he says something and then he starts talking about other stuff real fast, so then we have to go backwards.
What? How many episodes?
If you would, stay with the show and not mess with your computer, you would know where we're at.
I'm trying to come up with a Bible verse.
Trying.
John 3:30. It's real simple.
Trying.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, Chicago woman, 104 years old, skydives from plane, aiming for record as the world's oldest skydiver. I think
aiming for record. What does that mean?
She was aiming for Earth.
They're not sure. Like, did she make it?
That's like, a good question.
So she got the world record.
She got the world record. My thing is, if I was 104, I'd be jumping out of a plane, but for a completely different reason.
You and me both.
What reason is that?
I'm not. Why would you?
Head first without a chute.
Why? That's a blessing to be alive at 104.
Right, but not 105. 105, everything starts to go downhill.
That's 35.
Okay, now I'm looking it up to see if she made it.
She made it. Our producer said she made it like 10 minutes ago.
She had a diaper on. She's
yeah,
good.
She is not.
She had a diaper on. Do you think?
Waving her arms around.
I'm wondering if it was like her grandkids that were trying to go for the record. Like maybe she didn't know what was going on. It's like, Grandma, let's go to Disney World. Here, wear this backpack.
When she landed, she was like, ooh, Nutella.
I wish it was maple syrup.
A pool full of maple syrup?
Yeah, Brent.
I'm sorry, Lord.
She did a belly flop.
Perhaps she was loaded and like her 87-year-old kids were like, when is she going to go? Hey, Grandma, am I going to try something?
On three, Grandma. One, two.
Is this
inheritance? What?
Okay.
How you doing on that verse?
There's so many. It's like, because usually we have a topic, and there's so much going on right now that I'm like, Lord, what is the verse?
You know what? I'm gonna get serious. No, I'm gonna get serious. This is serious. Like, it's a horrible transition, but this is serious. Because
I
couldn't wait. I don't have a verse, but I wanted to tell you guys.
Perfect.
Something.
Let's do it.
I've been dying to tell everybody else this. I think I called you the day it happened. For those who don't know, I started a new job.
Oh, yeah.
And I started a new job, and before...
There's a picture of the lady in the air.
What do the arms look like?
Her face is like...
She's got a really loose face, so it's like...
looks like a sheet flapping in the wind.
One of those dogs that, like...
The sharp head? Yeah, like... That's terrible.
Granny looked like loose luggage out there. So
I'll see if I can send it to Lisa. She can throw it up there.
All right, so... You know, I had talks with a few people about making the transition and you know, if it would be worth doing. And what it all came down to was more time with my children. So, like, it was like a day before I was going to just, you know, make that, you know, pull the trigger on it. And I went to the supermarket. I went to Giant. And I walk in. I see a guy. He looks at me. He says, don't I know you? Where do I know you from? And then I looked at him, and then I remembered. And I said, Coventry Mall? He was like, yeah. I was working at Foot Locker at the time, and he, you know, was working at the pizza place there. So we stopped. We talked for a few minutes. You know, everything was doing well. He was doing well. And so I went on to finish shopping. So on my way to the register to pay, I saw a woman, and she looked familiar. So then we started. So now I recognized who she was. So then we started talking, and I've known her for maybe 10 years, over 10 years. I've known her for over 10 years. So we start talking, and you know, having a conversation, and everything like that. And then about 10 minutes go by after we, you know, catch up. I pay for my stuff, and then I walk outside of Giant, and I run into another person that I know. So we only talk for 2 minutes because I've seen this person recently, and then we keep going. Now, all is struggling and trying to figure out what if I was going to take this job and what I was going to do. Do you know? I felt like Scrooge because check this out. First major job I had when I moved up here was in Coventry Mall. I ran into somebody who I haven't seen and I don't know how long that worked there, right? So then I move on. I get another job. The lady that I ran into worked at this job that I got when I moved on from Foot Locker, right? When I walk outside, Giant is a guy that I worked with currently. And I didn't think of it, and I started to drive home, and I said, oh, my God. I felt as though that was a sign. It was like, you're making the right move because you started here, you moved on. You ran into that person. You went here, you moved on. You ran into this person. This is where you currently are, but you're looking to move on. Take the job. I thought that was God showing me, like, you're on the right path. Just keep going.
I just thought you were on the right path just when you were talking about it. I mean, you were pretty peaceful about it when you were talking about moving on to a new job. It felt like the right move for you.
Right. But then, but after all of that, then all of that happened. And it's just like, and I was just like,
so
wow.
You thought God was telling you to go back to Foot Locker?
No.
To the pizza joint.
I didn't work at the pizza joint.
Yeah, but that's what he's telling you. You should go to the pizza joint now. You should switch.
I think you should just quit your job now. That's what I think it is.
You gonna hire me?
No, just go to Giant. Just walk around.
Yeah, maybe that's the whole thing. Just walk around Giant.
I'm turning to G.
Just act. It's like Field of Dreams, but with a supermarket.
I feel like only two people got that reference.
Nah, I didn't. I definitely didn't.
You got it. And Sean definitely got it. All right, watch the movie G.
I'll look into it.
You get 75 summers, 75 springs. No, you got to see. But no, that was like a real like enlightening moment for me. It was like in that moment I felt like God was speaking to me. Like, see, I got you. Just believe. I'm sending you in the right way. Just keep listening.
So the thing I wanted to share today was about forgiveness, and I went through a period of time. Recently over the summer, you know, we had some work done at our house and it went sideways, and I'm just not going to get into all of it, but it was a situation where God gave us the opportunity to extend an olive branch to somebody that the world would say didn't deserve one. And it got down to the point where we were at a situation where the work had been done incorrectly and we had every right to take them to court and not pay. But it was a situation where God brought peace into our life through the act of forgiveness, the act of saying, hey, you don't deserve this, but none of us deserve this. And so we're going to go ahead and forgive you and move on with our lives and just, you know, let you know that God loves you, that we love you, and we understand that maybe this is a, you know, tumultuous time in your life, but we're going to move on. And so I had thought that it was really cool that God had taught me a new lesson about forgiveness within the last few weeks. And then last week happened. So I was supposed to go on a work trip. I did go on a work trip. And Monday morning, I'd spent all weekend packing my trailer to go on a work trip, my big 30-foot trailer, and to deliver some equipment for work and to pick up a bunch of equipment in many different states along the South, Texas and Florida and Louisiana, Alabama. And I pull out of my shop after spending 10 hours packing the trailer and being ready to go. I make it a mile down the road and I get hit by a dump truck. And what's funny about that? Elijah's just over there laughing.
Because I was driving. No,
no, so I get hit by a dump truck, which made the whole, you know, it threw off the schedule. I had to switch vehicle or I had to switch different trailer. Wasn't able to do what I needed it to do. And I went ahead and made the best of the trip and tried to move on, you know, 4 days later after getting down to Florida, working in Florida, working in Louisiana, and I pull into Houston, Texas, and I stop at a hotel. I go in. I'm having a little bit of trouble sleeping. And at 1:30 in the morning, my phone starts giving me a weird alarm, and I look down, and it says it's OnStar telling me that my brand new truck, the alarm is going off. And I go outside to see what's going on because I knew the truck was locked up and the truck is gone. And the truck's gone, the trailer's gone, all my work is gone, my tools are gone, my equipment's gone, everything I had in the truck was gone. I'm in a strange city. I feel like I'm in the Wild West, you know. And I call OnStar and I say, well, you guys can track the vehicle, right? They're like, absolutely. As soon as the police get there, we'll track it for you. And I said, okay, well, just stay on the line. I already called the police. They'll be here in a minute. And they said, no. You're in Houston, Texas. That's not going to happen.
Stop.
I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, the last vehicle I had stolen in Houston, Texas took 6 hours for the cops to show up. So I guess I did okay when 3.5 hours later the police showed up.
Whoa.
The OnStar. See, he's getting choked. You're getting choked up over it. I know.
I feel for you, bro.
It's just because you don't like Dallas, which is right next door to Houston. I don't like Texas at all now. now you got me coughing.
See?
So it took 3.5 hours for the cops to show up. We called OnStar back, and the vehicle had the
disabled the train.
They disabled it hours before that. It's gone. A lot of it wasn't insured. A lot of it wasn't covered. And it was just one of those situations where, you know, it's still processing it. It's been less than a week now. And I'm going through that, and I'm just like, you know, we saw the alarms on the phone, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 2:45, 3 o'clock, 3:30. You know, as a business owner for 12 years now, you know, you work really hard to get yourself into a place where you have a certain level of productivity, a certain level of equipment and that sort of thing. And you work really hard and you're proud that you're honest about it and you're proud that you, you know, somewhat earned it, you know, to where you are. And then to have somebody take that away from you in the middle of the night in a strange city, you know, thousands of miles away from home to have to deal with the police who you know are never going to call you back and basically have the clothes on your back, a couple things in a duffel bag, and get a cab ride to the airport the next day, pay for a flight home, and just be sitting there waiting at the airport for 6 hours, staring out a window, waiting for your plane to show up. I mean, there were some times where I just sat there and just started bawling and, you know, looking out that. And I'm just, you know, you process the emotions of being angry at somebody. You process the emotion of being like not helped, you know, that the police didn't care. The hotel didn't care. The, you know, thief certainly didn't care. And, you know, then you start picturing that somebody, it was somebody's job to go through your truck as a thief, right? And it was a professional job. There's a car ring down there, apparently. They love Chevy pickup trucks. Oh. And out-of-towners.
Yeah.
But it's literally somebody's job to go through your truck with a trash can, throwing away all the stuff that they can't pawn or they can't sell. They can't. And so you're like, all that stuff that I had, the book my daughter gave me, my computer, you know, whatever, my shoes, all that stuff is somebody's going through and just throwing it away because it doesn't matter. And then they're just taking what you worked hard for and just selling it for 10 cents on the dollar. And you're doing all that. And I guess ultimately, you know, it'll take a while to go through this. To the business taking a loss, I'm personally taking a loss. But at the same time, you realize a few things through that. And I'm not done processing it. I probably won't be for a while. But there's a few things that I've come to know for sure that is truth. One is I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. My wife said she's really glad that I wasn't sleeping in the truck that night. You know, that sort of thing. My kids are safe. My kids are healthy. My wife is safe. My wife is healthy. The business is okay. We'll make it through this. We made it through other stuff. The other thing that I was taught is, you know, a lesson in that God is still in control, even in the middle of the night, even thousands of miles away, when you don't have a way to extricate yourself from a situation, God's still in control. And one of the most important things, and I don't know what God's trying to teach through this lesson, right? But one of the most important things that I realized that day is about that forgiveness that I thought God had just finished teaching me a lesson on, right? And I thought I was done with the lesson. But the one thing he showed me that day that he just sort of revealed to me that it just dawned on me one day and at one point during that day, and I'm upset and I haven't slept, you know, I've been awake for 48 hours, whatever. I'm sitting in an airport and God just said, remember when I was on the cross? And I looked next to me, and the criminal next to me said, what do I have to do to be forgiven? And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And what did the criminal do? He was a thief. And so God said, you know, the one thing that he's revealing to me is that you can be angry. You know, you can be angry that somebody hurt you. That's okay. You can process through that. But I still love them. You know, they're still your brother, and I still love them. So That's the lesson of the last couple months for me. And like I said, I mean, maybe there'll be more revealed through this, maybe not. But
we've all seen your forgiveness your forgiveness journey. I've seen a big part of it. And it's, you know, I'm proud of all of you because everybody, all of us have had our things and we've all persevered because we all have each other and we all have faith and we all believe in the Lord and we know that, you know, all things are possible through him. So
I still don't forgive you.
Why, for having a team that wins?
Oh my gosh. How can you live with yourself? This Sunday?
You're an imposter. Just because it's green doesn't mean it's...
Are you watching the game with us?
I will.
You coming, Sean?
We'll see.
There might be some... They might show the Patriots highlight.
I have to see if somebody's busy.
I doubt.
They don't have any highlights. When they don't score any points,
No,
you do when I say.
I didn't say highlights. I said highlight.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're running out of the tunnel.
You didn't see your messages, did you?
Yeah, it'll be like a Brady highlight from like 10 years ago.
Oh, that's good. He might even show up to the game.
He could. He might have to take over.
Anyway. So.
Oh, man.
10.
So, I guess that leaves me.
Yeah.
If you want.
So. More string bean.
It's up to you.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm good with sharing. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, before we went, took a break, you know, I was kind of going through a lot of stuff. We talked about it kind of one of the last episodes. I had given up my my pastor's license in April and kind of just trying to figure out where the Lord was leading me. I just felt like crap and just depressed and miserable and didn't know what I was going to do with myself. And, you know, God shows up in the craziest ways sometimes, you know what I mean? And he brought some people into my life. People I knew that I just became closer with and stuff, and I got to experience a lot of different things this summer. I quit the part-time job. Taking a part-time job so you could work less at your full-time job just doesn't make sense. It's not rational.
Yeah, that's...
You know, just take the damn time off. Excuse my language. But, yeah, just take the time. Just don't, you know, everything will figure itself out. And it has. It's been great. Work, you know, I can get all the overtime I want at my other job, and I don't have to work near as many hours as I was working. So that's all worked out. But, you know, I got to go do some things that I wish I had done before. You know, there was, you know, some family members that got lost. There were things I wanted to do with them. Like, you know, one of them was into going to wineries and stuff. I never do that. So God brought back somebody in my life that was close to them, that did that with them, and I was able to experience that with them. So it was like being able to live that out after the fact. So took a lot of time to heal this summer, reflect, a lot of reflection. Realized, you know, I gave up my license, and I made a bad decision from a bad place, and I probably should have reached out and talked before I made that decision, but it is what it is. We can't, you know, we do what we do, but... definitely been taking a lot of more time for myself. I mean, there's still some things I got to do to get there. You know, namely like taking vacations and stuff. Like that's a pretty important thing. So I'm gonna
work on that. Houston, Texas is nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna go there and see if they have a pool full of Nutella. Let me see if we can work that out. But no, so you know, just working on, you know, taking time. And you know, that was one of the biggest things they told me when I went to my ministry assessment weekend was you need to take time. You need to slow down. And you know, I don't listen very well, so, you know, now I'm hearing it, now I'm seeing it. So God's really just changed so much. Like, I feel like I'm in such a better place than I've ever been. Like, you know, it's hard to explain because, like, when I first came to Christ, like, that just is an awesome feeling, like, to change your life from where I was to coming into, you know, the family. And then now I just, you know, everything I've learned over the last 8-9 years, I just feel like I'm in one of the best places I've ever been in my entire life. Like, even looking back, like, at times that were really good, I'm like, man, like, if I could have got all this sooner. But it's all it's all a progression. It's, you know, it's all, you know, lesson after lesson. You got to put – how do you put those lessons into practice? And so that's been pretty huge. And then
– you wouldn't even understood it back then if it was
– no,
yeah,
it wouldn't even have made sense.
You have to go through it to get to a point of peace.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to learn patience. I had to learn forgiveness. Forgiveness was the big one. That was like the first thing I had to go through, and that was a tough lesson. Patience was a huge one. You know, now this, you know, self-care. self-care is extremely important. It was something I don't think about. And, you know, God was like, all right, well, if you're not going to think about it, I'll make you think about it. So, you know, so just grateful for everything. And then, you know, like Dave, this last week and a half has not been the greatest. You know, I had to went through the toughest, I would say the toughest situation I've had to go through in ministry as a pastor. I won't get into too much detail, but I had to do my first funeral this weekend. You know, for people I'm very close with that, you know, and it was tough. It was an infant and born premature and didn't make it. And it's a tough one. Like, still pretty fresh, but a lot of questions. A lot of whys. And you know, I felt guilty a couple of times because, you know, I started to think of, like, people I know that deserve a 54-cent lead injection and something like this happens. And it's just like, but you can't think like that. You can't. How do you judge one person's sin over something? And, right. So it was a lot of time. Again, what am I supposed to learn through it? And what, you know, I've learned these lessons. Now, how do I take these lessons and pass the test? And, you know, I talked to Tom during the week. I talked to Pastor Pete. I talked to Pastor Scott over at Birdsboro. And unfortunately, and nothing against them, I love you guys dearly, but nobody really had any help or any answers for it. Because, you know, it was a tough situation to go into. Nobody's really had to deal with that. And so it's just kind of crazy. And I all week I was just beating me up, and I felt sick, and I was so anxious, and even up into the point where I had to, like, walk in and actually start the service. And immediately when I was up in front of, it was a very small intimate affair, and it was like, as soon as I went to open my mouth, the switch flipped. And I just knew it was going to be okay. I just felt a sense of ease, a sense of calmness, a sense of peace roll over me. It was tough, man. I'll tell you what, though. Like, it took everything I had in me not to lose it a couple of times. I had to kind of stop and act like I lost my place for a minute to regroup. But it went well. They, you know, the parents appreciated it. They were very thankful. You know, everybody, you know. And again, it's not about me. It's not about the thanks or anything like that. But the fact that they felt something and they were moved and they could feel the Lord come through in that was huge for me. And I do feel a lot better now than I did Saturday. But there's still, you know, there's still going to be questions and there's still some anger to work through and, you know, from past, you know, losses and stuff in my own personal life. But again, I don't think had I gone through what I went through last year with, you know, the depression and the issues that I went through there, I don't know that I would have been ready to handle that this past weekend.
Well, the one thing that Lisa always reminds me, because I want to get through every bad thing as fast as possible. I want to say, okay, I've processed this for 12 hours, let's move on. And she always stops me and says, this is a big thing, and it takes time to process. Don't rush it. Like, so that's I mean, using her advice, but for you, it takes time. You can't just move right through it. Allow it to take time.
But you might not remember. You gave me that same advice.
I certainly don't remember.
You told me. I said, I'm just waiting for something bad to happen, something else to happen bad. And you said, I said, my exact words was, I'm waiting to hit rock bottom.
Oh, and right. I do remember that. Yeah,
said,
I do remember.
Who's to say you're supposed to hit rock bottom?
Yeah.
He said, just keep doing what you're doing. Stay the path, and it will all work out.
Well, I'm glad I gave you that advice, and I wish I could have remembered it because I got hit by a dump truck, and then I got my truck stolen, and then I was really afraid to get on the plane. Because I was like, vehicles aren't working out for me this week. But no, I mean, Sean, that's Lisa's advice always, is to let it take its time and allow it to hurt, mm-hmm. and allow it to process, because that's the thing. I always shut it down, and then it ends up coming up later. So
well, yeah, and that's I think the big thing. If I hadn't gone through what I went through, I wouldn't have been ready to do that, to take the time.
Right.
Like before I was working two jobs. I would have jumped in. I would have been coming here. I would have been doing everything else. And now, you know, every night, something else I picked up over the summer, and some of you guys have seen on Facebook, I started painting again. You know, I've done like four paintings this summer.
It's weird paintings. That they're all like somebody holding up the middle finger. I'm just saying, maybe you should. It's like Norman Rockwell, though, but it's just somebody like flipping a bird to like another car.
I have
car.
A mirror I look in when I'm painting.
They're all self-portraits. Yeah, I didn't realize Norman that.
It's, so
you should paint a Kandinsky. Nice. Use both sides of the canvas.
No, I don't do that. But yeah, so I've taken up painting again, and the last few nights and stuff, I sit out on my back porch and I just put a brush to canvas and just kind of let it go and just let it flow. And
you post a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I was about to say a lot of zen, like tranquil.
I just assume he got locked out and he was just taking
sometimes,
pictures.
Sometimes, you know, go out there with a glass of wine and then I'm just like, where am I?
Wait, this isn't my yard.
No, it's always my yard. But no, so that's been huge. That's been really helpful to help find peace and like center. Like I just feel like, and it's funny because I have like five canvases at home that I've primed and I've started. I had an idea and they're just sitting in the closet because it was like wasn't the time. Like a couple weeks ago, I was having a really good weekend and I went out on a Saturday night to out back and I was just having a really good weekend. I was having a good conversation and with a friend and stuff. And it was the first time I ever sat down and primed a canvas and finished a painting all in one sitting. Hmm. Usually it takes me a couple of weeks because I want to have the details a certain way and I want to have everything a certain way. You know, not that my paintings are great, but to me there's certain aspects of perfection in it that
I'm
I want.
Yourself short.
I'm saying they're all right, but they're not. You know, I'm no Pablo Picasso, but there's things that I want to be a certain way. And this one, I just kind of was going through it. And at the end, I had drawn a boat floating in the ocean. And
with a guy holding up the middle finger.
It was. With his pants down, he was mooning everybody.
Oh, my God. So it was a starry night?
You should you should hide something like that in every photo. You
just
should.
every painting? But so, no, it was actually an empty boat. It's an empty boat in the ocean.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to tell you about the boat, man.
Is that your painting? That's your thing, right? Is that your calming, be still, just.
Yes.
What's yours?
Me?
Not the gym. Not running to get aggression out or anything. Like
I just
that. Like what's your be still thing that just.
I yell at the kids.
Yeah, it works.
I feel great after. No, I probably hiking. Something like that. Like something more peaceful. Yeah. Not like.
What's yours?
The Ring app.
He can't stay still. That's why I say
eating M&M's.
No, it's.
Ring
app. It's. Let me get back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. What's yours?
Music. Making beats.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been taking notes because.
Let Sean tell us about the boat.
Oh, boat.
We good? Well,
no, tell us about the boat with the guy with the mountain.
That's a
so,
big
yeah, there's butt. No guy. It's just an empty boat. And in that weekend, I there was a lot of things that I realized in my life that I haven't let go of. I had to unload. And so to me, that boat was a representation of it's an empty boat. I could put all of that crap in the boat and just let it sail off into the sunset. And so every boat has to be named, right? So I was like, okay, I got to put a name on the boat, in the back of the boat.
Cool.
And I'm looking, you know, I'm kind of like Googling like boat names and stuff. Like, so just something, so just to like get ideas. And it hit me. And I don't know Greek. But I put Avtio on the back of the boat, A-V-T-I-O, which is Greek for goodbye. And so that was my goodbye to the baggage and the, you know, the issues from the past. And it was huge because it was a couple weeks ago and I felt really good coming up to, you know, the events of this past week. And again, it just, the way God works, like,
that's deep.
He gave me an opportunity to unload crap, like things that I dealt with my mom passing and stuff like that, that I was able to unload that crap into a boat and a painting and let it go. And actually, the funny part is Shane McQuarrie, who was on the show, friend of the show, watches the show. I don't think he's watching tonight, but I put it up the next day. I said, who wants this? Like, I want it gone now.
Oh, wow.
Like, I want the painting out of my, like, it's got to go. Not that I don't like it, not that I wouldn't hang it up. It's beautiful. I love it. But it's got to go. It's part of the process. And he was like, oh, I'd love it. And he was the first person to respond. So I said, boom, it's yours. So I built a frame this week. It's all stained. Wow. It's all ready. I'll post a picture later, all framed up. But I'm going to send him that and the T-shirt we owe him from last year when he was on the show. It's still sitting in my house.
That was so 2 years ago. That wasn't last year.
It was like a year. He just posted a memory the other day of him being on the show. Just
really?
A
memory of 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Really? Man, we've been at this for a while.
Wow.
That's dude, crazy. We're at that age where stuff flies. I thought I lost my computer in the theft.
I mean, we started this right about March of 2020.
Yeah, March of 2020. Yeah, it's only 2023.
Can I share one more thing?
Oh, jeez. Well, you know, sorry. There's going to be another episode, right?
Last week's show. He's taking this show.
I'm sorry.
We're going to do more episodes.
I just got to share this. I know. I'm sorry. But
no, I'm just looking at my calories.
Going back to my new job. I feel like I am supposed to be there because everywhere I turn, I turn to believers. Like, we get to talking, and this person's like, I go to this church. And then we start talking about God. And then I meet somebody else. And we're I don't know their names.
It doesn't count unless you worked at Foot Locker with them in the 80s. No,
it wasn't the 80s.
You're so old.
It was in the 2000s. But I just feel like God.
Do you still have the jersey?
I do.
Yeah, bring it.
You gotta wear that in the next episode.
I do.
Yeah, bring it the next episode.
I'm gonna start taking it to basketball on Monday.
All right, my food's getting cold in the fridge.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
My dinner's getting cold.
I like
cold.
That, though. My food's getting cold in the fridge. I heard you.
If it wasn't, that'd be a problem.
Love lamp. Go.
Somebody figure out a way to end the episode.
I just need to do a quick recap because both of your stories had so much similarities and so much parallel. Just real quick, just a few things that really touched me today. When Dave said the guy next to Jesus was a thief, and the fact that he's able to forgive the person that harmed him and took literally a lot, almost at the time it was everything from him, you know, that's what we're called to do, those hard things, right? And to be able to have something, you know, you can always say, yeah, I could forgive, but to actually have something happen and to be able to do it, and then to say, because the Lord forgave the thief, right? And that really, but the one of the things that you guys both said in different ways is that God works in all situations. He shows up when he has to show up. He showed up right as soon as you started to speak. And he's been showing up to you during conversations with your insurance policy, during conversations with your wife, through a lot of things. And this weekend, I went on a revival, and it completely gave me a whole new perspective on the story of the prodigal son. Because you know how when you read Luke chapter 15, the title says prodigal son? It shouldn't even say that. That's the wrong title. It should really say either one or two things. It should say the prodigal sons with an S. Or right. It should say the forgiving love of a father.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in that culture, what the younger brother, as we know is the prodigal son, what he did to his father, you could be killed for in that culture.
Mm.
So on his way back, he could have easily been attacked. But what do they say in scripture? The father ran out to him and met him when he saw his shadow. He just ran out. Which you start thinking about then, and that means, wow, that means he was out there literally every day.
Right.
Waiting.
Every day. So our Father, who's God, is constantly running after us every day. Running after us. And in both those stories, I started thinking of the revival I was just at, and those are prime examples of God just running out to both of you guys and say, hey, I'm here. It's up to you whether you wanna, you know. And the embracement and the love that he gave, even though the son did that, because he came back and repented, right? And there's a lot other stuff that I can get to the prodigal son, but we can talk about that another time. But for you, I the fact that you used the words, I regret giving up my local minister's license, shows me where your heart is at. But also, you had to give up your local minister's license
to be where you're at today. Because through that whole process, right, you learn patience, you learn forgiveness, you learn self-care, you learn how to lean on God, you learn how to find your peace to going back to drawing and just being by yourself. That's not just drawing, that's worship, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so you needed that. And it reminded me of when I got yanked from Sight and Sound, and God's like, yeah, you're not watching that because I need to spend some time with you. And I don't know if I got a chance to talk about that. I think I did. Yeah. But yeah. So I thought a lot about that. God works in all situations. The fact that they've said, you know, they took everything, but I'm alive. I got my wife. I got my kids. They got their health. I got my house. You know, sometimes we forget about the stuff that really matters in our lives because we get caught up on what the world has to do. You know, one of the things that I've been really leaning on, and that's the reason that I messaged you guys today and said, listen, I think we need to get together, right? Was because, you know, isolation is the devil's playground. And when you are isolated by yourself, especially going through storms in your lives, that's when the devil's going to start attacking. That's when he's going to start lying to you. He's the master of liars. That's when he's going to come after you, right? But when you're in fellowship with your brothers, you know, I learned a whole, and I'll close with this. The verse, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that where two or more are gathered, Jesus shows up, right? The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. So Jesus is already with us. What that verse means is where two or more are gathered, it intensifies the presence of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that verse really means. And that's why I wanted us together, because I'm like, you know, we're better together. It's what we are. So I was glad we were all able to make it. I thank you both for your testimony at what has been happening since we took our extended break. And as this podcast, the Prodigal Sons, we needed that break. We needed that break.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I love you guys. I could talk about a lot more other stuff that the Lord's putting in my heart, but I got a sermon on Sunday, so maybe I'll just save it for that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. All right, let's take us out in prayer here. Father God, thank you for bringing us together. I know it wasn't easy for us all to get here. I know, you know, the messages went back and forth. I know I changed my mind on the message that I sent. I was going to say no, and then I agreed to come because, like Tom said, I just felt like it was something I needed to do today, and I'm glad you put it on Dave as well, and Elijah could get here. So, yeah. Father, thank you for bringing us together. I think, for me anyway, I won't speak for the rest of the guys, but I definitely feel a lot better this evening than I have in the last few days. Thank you, Ward. So, Ward, we ask that you be with Israel, with everything that's going on. That is your holy land. That's where everything started for us. So, Lord, be with them. Bring some peace to that whole situation. Bring some peace to that land. Lord, I don't even know where to begin. It's been too long. Too long. And we know you're long-suffering. We know that you will protect your people, Lord. So we know that you're in it. We know that you're there with them. Just bring peace to the people. Keep people, as many people, as safe as possible, Lord. For our brother, Mike Morlando, Father, we know you're with him in his current situation, where we know that you're trying to bring him peace and in every possible sense of the word. Just be with everybody who's involved, that the right decisions are made, that the right care is being given, that everything is done so that Mike can continue to be at peace in his current situation, Lord. For Juju and Izzy and their whole family and everybody that's going through the loss that they suffered. Lord, be with them. Lay your hands upon them. Bring them healing. Bring them some answers. Bring them some peace. Bring them some joy. It's a rough situation, and Lord, we know it's going to take time for the healing to happen. But just be with them every step of the way, every part of that process, Lord. For Elisa's friend's dad, Lord, be with him, be with the family, that all decisions would be best in everybody's interest, Lord, and everybody can be at peace with the whole situation. A lot of peace going around, Lord. It's kind of a rough time. Some praise for Randy, his kids, their health are doing well, for his son being able to hear. be with his dad as they transfer him from a hospital to a rehab center. And for Russell, who the tow truck driver who was hit by a car, would be with him. Let him have more good days than bad days. Get him back to his family. For Anna's family and their loss, Lord, bring some peace to that situation. Bring healing. Bring comfort. Lord, again, there's just a lot of pain and heartache going around right now, Lord. So bring, just lay peace on your people. Lord, there are a lot of questions that we won't get the answer to this side of heaven.
That's right.
And that's okay.
That's right.
If you'd asked me on Friday, I wouldn't have said that answer. I had a lot of questions I wanted answered on Friday evening. But after everything that happened leading up to today, I don't need to know the answers. The answers aren't always for me. They aren't for those that it affects. What it does affect is the fact that we can put our trust in the promise that you made.
Amen.
That you've gone ahead of us. That's right. To prepare a place for us. You will not forsake us. You will not forget us. And when we come before you with all of our sin, with all of our filth, with all of our muck, you will take that dirty cloak and give us a clean robe.
Thank you, Father.
And invite us into your home.
Right.
As if we had never been dirty at all.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the trust that I find hope in.
That's right.
That's the trust that I am inspired by. Mm-hmm. That is the trust that keeps me moving forward each and every single day, no matter what happens, what stumbling blocks are there, what bricks are thrown, what shots are fired. I know, no matter what happens, you will be there before me, after me, and right beside me every step of the way. I shared footprints with the sand this weekend. I have it on my arm, and it's the premise of the poem, Lord, you know it, is the life flashing before your eyes as we walk along with you, and then we look back in the later parts of our lives, and we see that there's only one set of footprints in the sand, no longer two, and Lord, the questions become, why in my toughest times was there only one set of footprints, Lord, why did you leave me?
Yes, Father. yes.
And your answer will always be.
That's right. Say it.
When you only saw one set of footprints.
Yep.
It was then that I carried you. So, Lord, carry your people.
Yes, Lord.
Carry your people through the storms. Carry your people through the heartache. Carry your people through the joy. And let us always remember, good, bad, or indifferent, you are still on the throne. You are still the King of Kings. You are still the Lord of Lords. And you still have the ultimate control on everything that happens.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, though my heart be weary and heavy, carry me and let me be thankful for only one set of footprints.
Carry me, Father.
Father, we love you. We cherish you. And we are yours until we see you again in heaven. Pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Carry me, Father. That's literally the definition of when he says on this, the Sermon on the Mountain, blessed are the poor. That's exactly what he's talking about, is that blessed is that person that knows, Lord, right. I need you every single day.
Yeah.
I can't do this on my own, right? And, you know, one of my favorite passages to always end things with is comes in Numbers 6, 24 through 26, when he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And that true peace, shalom, shalom. Shalom means peace, but when you do shalom, shalom, it means perfect peace. And that's the kind of peace that you can find in our Savior when you allow him to carry you.
Elijah, can the people watch us on YouTube?
Yes.
What about Facebook?
Yes.
Podcast Addict?
Yes.
Google Podcasts?
Yes.
Apple Podcasts?
Yes.
Pretty much anywhere you could find a podcast.
Anywhere.
Spotify? Did you say Spotify?
He didn't, but I was going to say that, okay. But you...
I was going to close totally with that. That was going to be the... That was going to... That was the grand finale. How about Spotify? I was going to do a little. I was going to do a little thing there.
Sorry.
You can catch us in all that.
Well, thanks for watching. As we close, this has been episode 135. We'll be back in probably 2 weeks with 136. As we close, I just want to say one last little thing. When I was on that flight home from Houston, I got a window seat. There's nobody sitting next to me in the middle. It was kind of nice. I was able to, you know, sleep a little bit. But
make some popcorn.
At one point, there was some turbulence, and the captain got on and said that we're going to experience a little turbulence, make sure everything's buckled, yada, yada, yada. And during the turbulence, I was looking out the window. And you know what? I saw a figure in the distance, and it looked exactly like Elijah wearing a Foot Locker uniform.
That's amazing.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Love you all.